نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. I'll present before you in this program a presentation of the understanding of the first chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. The name of this Surah, Al-Fatiha, really means the opening chapter, the one that begins. I'll first present before you the translation of this Surah. The Almighty says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I begin in the name of Allah, the one whose mercy is profound and lasting. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all expressions of gratitude are for Allah, the creator and the provider of the entire existence. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one whose mercy is profound and lasting. Malik Yawmiddin, the one who is the master of the Day of Judgment. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. O God, we worship you alone and we seek your help alone. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the right path. Sirat al-lazina anamta alayhim. The path of those people on whom you showered your blessings. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim walad-dhalin. The path of those who neither were considered worthy of your displeasure, nor were they the ones who went astray. These are the words of the very first surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. Of course, the question that arises is, why exactly is it that this particular surah was chosen to be the very first chapter of the Quran? There are certain experts of exegesis who believe that this chapter was indeed the very first one to have been revealed on the Prophet as well, although there are many others who have other views. However, we all agree that as far as the present presentation and sequence of the Quran is concerned, Surah Al-Fatiha happens to be the very first chapter of the Quran. The reason is that this chapter presents before the reader the very need why there was the Quran required to be delivered, to be revealed. When you begin the Quran by reading this chapter, you are given the basis, the background, the circumstances in which the revelation of the Quran was necessitated. This surah gives you the understanding and the imagination and the mindset of an individual who on the one hand is extremely pious and God-fearing and on the other hand is extremely desperately in need of the right guidance, the right way leading to God and His pleasure. So that this surah begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all expressions of gratitude. The word hamd in Arabic is a loaded word. It describes an understanding of both praise as well as thankfulness. So that I'm translating it in both ways. And indeed, it really is meant to deliver both understandings in this particular verse. We thank God, we praise Him for whatever He has given us, so that all praise and all expressions of gratitude are meant for Allah, who is the provider of the entire mankind. The beginning of this chapter with an acknowledgement of the fact that God provides everything and therefore He deserves our expressions of thanks and gratitude is a proof and evidence of the fact that true religion is based on the spirit of thankfulness. Because we humans, when we come to this world, we realize that we have not come to a world which is not providing us with what we need, which is against our interests. On the contrary, what we find is that the environment is congenial for our living. It helps and promotes our cause. And therefore, we find ourselves from within inclined to thank the one who created us as well as our existence. And because this particular chapter is actually expressing the sentiments of an individual who is on the one hand pious and on the other hand looking for the truth, it begins with the true feelings of emotions of gratitude of that pious individual. It goes on to say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Lord, the Creator, is the one who is extremely merciful and His mercy is lasting. Ar-Rahman really expresses the understanding of profound mercy that the Almighty is the embodiment of. And Ar-Rahim gives an understanding and clarification that His mercy, which really has no bounds, is not going to be temporary. It's going to last forever. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, His mercy is profound and lasting. Maliki Yawm al-Din, He is the master of the Day of Judgment. That is, a good person, a person who has been able to preserve his nature, knows from within that this worldly life alone cannot be complete, so that all people who are searching for truth are looking forward to another life where God Almighty is going to make sure that justice and fair play prevails, so that the person whom we are imagining is the one who is delivering this message or is praying to God Almighty is the one who also says that God, who is merciful and His mercy is lasting, is also the master of the Day of Judgment. In other words, the Day of Judgment is going to take place because God Almighty is merciful. Had He not been merciful, there may not have been a possibility of a life hereafter. But because God cares, because He's concerned about others, because He's sympathetic towards those who are suffering, therefore it is unimaginable that He would not bring a day when He'll take to task all those criminals, all those unfair people, all those people who persecuted and made life difficult for others. He's going to take them to task. So that He is the master of the Day of Judgment, the day that has not as yet come, but is bound to come. Thereafter, in this prayer-like surah, we have this verse which says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. The one who is exclaiming, mentioning his sentiments before the Almighty, goes on to say that, O God, it is only You whom we worship, and it is only You whose help we seek. That is, we are not going to prostrate, incline before any other being. We know that You are the only one who is worthy of being worshipped, of being prayed to. And it's only Your help that we are going to seek. This is what a true believer is. He worships no one except the one God. And he doesn't seek help from anyone in the spiritual, non-material sense, except from God. Indeed, we seek help from each other in the material sense, whereby we are all dependent on each other. But the help that is being mentioned over here, which is exclusively to be sought from God Almighty, is the one wherein you have a belief and understanding and confidence that you are seeking help from God. He knows what your needs are. He hears and listens to what you are saying, and He is fully capable of responding to all your demands. That kind of help can only be sought from God, because there is nobody else in this world who has the ability to hear everything and the ability to do everything. So that what we say in our prayer is that, O God, it is only You that we worship. And O God, it is only You from whom we seek help. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us onto the right path. That is, the most important help that we would like to seek from You, O God, is that You guide us. Guide us towards the path which is right, which takes us towards righteousness, towards success, towards Your satisfaction, towards contentment, towards the paradise. Now, this is really the most significant verse of the surah. That is, the person who is pious, the person who is desperately seeking help from God Almighty after expressing his feelings of gratitude before him, is asking for the most significant thing that we can ask God for, and that is guidance. That is the way that God is pleased with, the way that he wants us to adopt. It goes on to say that we are asking you, O God, for the path, Sirat al-lazina anamta alayhim, of those people, the path of those people on whom you showered your blessings, the people who have already left and have gone after having led a life in this worldly life, worldly component of the trial, which was exactly in accordance with your expectations. We also want to have the same path. We also want to know what that right conduct is. Sirat al-lazina anamta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, the path of those people who were neither found deserving of wrath and displeasure, nor were they the ones who were led astray. That is, this understanding of what the right path is has been expressed in this prayer in both positive as well as negative manner. In the positive manner, it has been expressed that the right path is the one that was adopted by all the good, successful, pious people of the past, whom God Almighty was pleased with. And it is the path which is most certainly not the one that was treaded, that was followed by the people who were led astray or who were found deserving of the Almighty's displeasure and wrath. One significant aspect of this surah is, as I mentioned earlier, that gratitude and thankfulness is the very basis of religion. We want to know what God expects from us because we want to follow it. We want to follow God's path of pleasure, the one that he desires from us, because we are thankful to him. Because we find that what he has given to us has made us so in debt of his gratitude, of paying back to him in some form what he has given to us. We cannot do enough, because what he has indeed given to us is so tremendous that there is no possibility for us mortal limited humans to come anywhere close to paying back to him for the kindness that he has done to us. However, we would still like to know what he wants us to do, and that is what gives way to the need for religion, the need for guidance. And that really means that religion of God is nothing but the expression of gratitude that is expressed by us humans so that we may please our God because he has been kind to us. The surah goes on to introduce God Almighty as somebody who is extremely merciful. Indeed, God Almighty has very many great attributes, all of which are complete. But the Quran clarifies that the one attribute of God that is the most dominating, that prevails over all others, is his mercy. He's merciful, he's kind, he's sympathetic, he's loving, he's caring, he's forgiving. That's what his mercy is. And indeed, it is this attribute which gives us confidence. We, the mortals, we the people who are inclined towards sin, we still have the confidence that if we were to mend our ways, if we were to correct our attitude and approach towards God, he is still willing to forgive us. Why? Because he is forgiving, he is merciful. And his mercy is not temporary, it's not short-lived. It's a mercy which is going to last forever. And that is the most appropriate introduction of God Almighty. After having made that introduction of his mercy, the prayer goes on to say that he's also the master of the day of judgment. What it means, as I said, was that the day of judgment, which at times to people seems to be a very scary understanding, because there are going to be many people who would get punished on that day. But we forget the fact that it is primarily the mercy of the Almighty which is going to cause him to create that life after death. Because God Almighty, He loves us. He's concerned about us. And therefore, He wants us to be rewarded adequately for good performance that we showed in this worldly life of ours, the life of trial. And because He's concerned about people who suffered in this life, that He wants to ensure that the people who were the cause of that suffering, they are punished adequately for the believers, for the pious, for the good people, to have the satisfaction that this world is, after all, based on justice and fair play. So that because God is fair, because He has mercy, sympathy, and love for people, for humans that He has created, therefore it is but natural and important that the life hereafter takes place and the day of judgment occurs. In this surah, we make a firm commitment that we would worship God alone, because it's God only who deserves this attitude of worship. Worship is an expression of thankfulness. Worship is an expression of a human's commitment that he's going to lead a life in this world of the servant of God, the one who is always going to be willing to submit before Him. To worship really means to be aware of the fact that God is great, He is powerful, He is the one who really is running the affairs of this world, and we compared to Him are ordinary, are vulnerable, are weak, and all the time dependent on Him. If we truly worship God, our inner self would always be inclined towards God, seeking His forgiveness, asking for mercy, and asking for guidance. We would always be, as a worshipper of God, looking forward to His pleasure, remembering Him all the time. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, is actually God created. And therefore, when we are living in this life, in this world of God, whatever good things we see, we derive pleasure from, it is God who deserves to be thanked for it and to be worshipped for it. And all acts of worship are indeed meant for God Almighty, for us to, as I said, pay back in some ordinary form what the Almighty has done to us in this tremendous opportunity of life that He has provided us with. The right path is what has been demanded. The right path has a theoretical aspect of what it looks like. And the right path also has an aspect wherein our inclination is needed. We are asking God Almighty for both. We are asking Him in this surah to let us know what exactly are His expectations from us. What is it that He wants us to do in this life in detail? When we are operating in the marketplace, when we are dealing with our relatives, when we are talking to people, when we are taking decisions, whether it be in the case of a jury, a court of law, or whether it be in the domain of political life, or whether it's in our trade or other activities, we would like to know, especially in areas where we get confused, in matters where things are not quite as clear as we would like them to be. We seek help from God. And indeed, if God lets us know as to what exactly is the correct approach in a certain set of possibilities that a certain situation throws at us, God's decision, when it comes with clarity, makes us feel completely satisfied and contented. And this is exactly what guidance does to us. Guidance is the name that has been given to the Sharia, the law, the message that the Almighty has given to us through the Quran, so that we are asking for that guidance. Indeed, it's a huge difference that it creates between those who are deprived of that guidance and those who have been provided with guidance. And we are asking for that help. And the one who is praying is going on to further clarify in detail as to what guidance looks like, what exactly is positively desired, and what exactly is it that is required and desired not to be provided to us. So that, of course, this prayer was made at a time when the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, was about to be conferred with the status of a messenger, and the Quran was about to be revealed. So that a long history of the humans had already gone by. And a reference is made in this prayer to all the people who had already expired in the past, who performed in a befitting manner which the Almighty was pleased with. So that the Quran says that we need to be shown the path of the people on whom your pleasure and satisfaction was conferred, who performed in a manner that you really were satisfied with their performance. This is something we would also like to go by. We would like to also get the privilege of it. The Quran clarifies that the four different categories of people who belonged to the category of Anamta Alayhim, who really were the ones who were privileged with God's blessings, are Nabiyeen, the prophets, Siddiqeen, those who support and acknowledge the prophets, Shuhada, who do the prophetic task even after the prophets, who deliver the message like the prophets used to deliver the message, and Salihin, the ordinary pious people who make sure that under all circumstances they are doing their best to earn the pleasure of the Almighty. All these categories are the ones who have been on the right path and who have been doing things which the Almighty desired. And this prayer is seeking help and guidance from the Almighty that the path of such people is also allowed for the praying person to also be able to follow. The ending part of the surah talks about the same path but in a negative way. It mentions the fact that the seeker, the one praying, does not want to be given the possibility of following the path of those who earned the displeasure and wrath of the Almighty and who went astray. And these wordings are quite clearly referring to two different groups of the earlier people. The first statement, غير المغضوب عليهم, is referring to those Jews who were following their own desires as against the Almighty's law, and therefore they earned his displeasure. Of course, it's not referring to all Jews, but the ones who really were mistaken and misled because of the exaggerated inclination towards their own base desires, which led them to not follow their law and Sharia. So that the one who is praying is seeking help from God to not become like the Jews who were led astray. And waladhalleen, these words are referring to those Christians who, despite having been given the message of God, were somehow not inclined to follow it because they thought that it probably is not enough and there is something more that is needed to please God Almighty and to follow the path of righteousness and success. So that the last of these verses of Surah Al-Fatiha give us an understanding that once we get the right true message of God clearly from him, the only task that we have to perform then is to know what that message is saying and to follow it diligently. Because if we are not going to follow it because it doesn't suit our interests and it goes against our desires, then we would be like those mistaken, misled Jews who have been described here in the words of Maghdubi Alayhim. And if we are not going to consider the message of God good enough for it to guide us towards the path of salvation and success, then we would be like the misled people belonging to the category of the Christians who devised some of their own ways of spirituality that they thought were more effective. They decided that they are going to, for instance, lead the life of monasticism, whereby they'll have nothing to do with the worldly life and pleasures. And this was a mistaken understanding, because they were, according to the Quran, never able to completely satisfy the conditions of monasticism, and ultimately they had to fall prey to their own desires. So that we the Muslims, we the people who believe in the Quran, before starting the contents of the Quran and reading them, we pray to God Almighty that we be shown a path which is a balanced path, the path which is straight, the path that was led by the people who successfully went through the trial of this life, the path of those people who were not misled, like the ones who were maghdubi alayhim, the misled Jews, and nor were they dalleen, those who went astray amongst the Christians. May the Almighty enable us to understand this surah and the entire Quran properly, and may He enable us to follow it as best as we can. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وللسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.